beautiful day.
9:40, final show of a year we'll all remember. Dean Richards, Sunday morning on WGN, joined by Dr. Kevin Most, Chief Medical Officer, Northwestern Central DuPage Hospital, and a late Merry Christmas to you, Kevin, and happy holidays. I hope you have had a nice time.
I did, Dean. It was a very relaxing and just laid back, which a lot different from past years, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, that's good, especially considering this year that's been so stressful on medical personnel, yourself included. So good that you had a little time to get away, all vaccinated, snug tight in your bed. We have to rewrite that. Yes, Virginia, there is a Santa Claus for COVID-19 times. But what's the vaccination update? I mean, are you pleased with the way that things are going? Things are rolling out. The way people are, who is being vaccinated? Who's up first in the line, and so forth?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. You know, we're looking across the country. 2 million people have been vaccinated. Let's put that in perspective. Only 22,000 actually got the vaccine during the trial. So we're really seeing great responses as far as minimal side effects, and the second dose will be coming for many of us here within the next 10 days.
Yeah, I was really surprised. I was in conversation with some people who are still very, very skeptical about taking the vaccine. You know, people are worried about, we don't know what kind of long-term effects that are going to have. We don't know if it's, really going to work, if it's, all these things. What would you say to people who are still skeptical after all that's been reported on with this?
Yeah, what I would say is, the 2 million people that have gotten it already, and then look, it's going to be probably 6 months before we get it to the general public. We're going to have a lot more information on the side effects and any possible problems. And I mean, I hate to say that we're the guinea pigs, but really, when you look at the people that are getting this, they're educated people that have watched this and looked at the results of the trials and are very, very confident in it.
Well, I guess, that's what some of the concern is right now, that those of you who have, were first in line to get this are the guinea pigs. And, they're saying they don't want to be guinea pigs. They'd rather wait until there's more conclusive evidence. But, does that increase the risk, though, that they still could get sick? Is being a guinea pig better than the possibility of getting COVID-19?
Well, absolutely. And then, really, how long are you going to wait? Are you going to wait 10 years? Are you going to wait 3 years? In order for us to get rid of masks, get to herd immunity, get back to where we were, people are going to have the confidence in the vaccine, and we're going to hopefully show that as the healthcare providers that have stepped up to get it.
Okay. The numbers seem to be at least leveling off a little bit. I saw a report in the Tribune this morning that said that the numbers, as of yesterday, that the numbers indicated the lowest daily case total since mid-October. So I guess that's encouraging, right?
It's a little bit encouraging. We have to take into consideration that it's a holiday week. So did people not get tested? Are people staying away from testing sites right now? I would have thought that we would have had an increased number of tests and increased number of positivity, but we didn't see that. So that is very encouraging, at least around the Chicagoland area.
Yeah, that's, I guess, good news. Are you concerned that we're going to see another holiday spike like we did right after Thanksgiving with the Christmas holiday and the New Year holiday right behind that?
Yep, that's probably one of our biggest concerns right now is, are we going to see a bump here in 2 weeks? The Thanksgiving bump wasn't as big as we all projected it to be, so that's good. But then again, I think that the thought that people are saying, oh, there's a vaccine, are we not as careful now? Are we kind of letting our guard down a little bit, thinking that the vaccine is going to save us?
Some calls for Dr. Kevin Most, 312-981-7200. After we take a quick break, this is WGN.
Girls all over the world.
It's 9:48. This is Dean Richards, Sunday morning on WGN with Dr. Kevin Most, Chief Medical Officer, Northwestern Central DuPage Hospital. Questions for Dr. Most at 312-981-7200. You can call in, you can text in, and let's go to Dusty on the phone line for Dr. Most. Hi, Dusty.
Good morning. Good morning. My question for Dr. Most is, I'm 70 years old, very soon to be 71, and I also have COPD. I do not live in the Chicago area, so how would you suggest I get on a list?
So, Dusty, yeah, at the age that you're at and the health conditions you have, you will be one of the next ones to be vaccinated as soon as we get through the essential workers and the healthcare providers. What I would do is contact your local Walgreens or CVS and see what their plan is, and then also touch base with your physician, because to get in line here is going to be key for those who have underlying health conditions, and you would certainly be in the first wave.
Okay, all right, I will go do that.
Thank you for the call, Dusty, and Happy New Year to you. Stephen, you're on with Dr. Most on WGN.
Well, hi, Dr. Most. I have a two-part question. First of all, I've had the flu vaccine for 30 years. Has this been protecting me against COVID? And number two, are all the strains of flu from years ago gone forever, or could they come back again?
So two great questions, because there's a lot of confusion saying, is the flu vaccine going to protect me at all? And it won't. These viruses are totally different. So it would be like, I took the flu vaccine and it's going to protect me from getting measles. No, it's not. Now, the question about the variation, absolutely. We know that there's a lot of mutations. You're hearing about the mutation in the UK right now with COVID. We know that viruses mutate all the time. So we certainly see the flu viruses continue to mutate and come back to strains that we've seen in the past.
Oh, so am I still protected?
No. The flu, know that the flu vaccines really have to be gone year to year, because the strain that might have been around 20 years ago, Your immune system probably is not going to protect you from that. So you should still continue to get the annual flu shot, because it's going to guess which of the virus strain is going to be most popular that year.
Yeah, I mean, that's why we get an updated shot every year, right? Because the strain is very often very different. But thank you for the call, Stephen. Some of the text questions, these are all very similar questions from people who have already tested positive. Frankly, you know, I also have these questions. So, you know, thank you for texting these in. One says, can someone who has already had COVID-19 be a carrier? And should they still follow the protocols? Another says, if I had the virus, how long does it stay in my system? Can I get it again? And here's another one that says, I've been told I will continue to test positive for up to 90 days. Am I contagious during that time? So people who have already had COVID-19 with, you know, some follow-up questions now.
Yeah. So can you be a carrier? It appears that some people can be a carrier. Now, the individual who says, I'm testing positive for up to 90 days, those people are usually not carriers. We're finding that they're carrying remnants of the virus, which is still making them test positive. So how long will you be contagious? That is interesting, because it really is based on your symptoms. We know that those who are asymptomatic are going to be probably contagious for about 10 to 14 days. That's why we have that quarantine period. Those of you who have symptoms, however, it's going to be 10 to 14 days after your symptoms end. But we still are kind of concerned about being a carrier even after the vaccine, because we didn't test that in the clinical trials for Pfizer. AstraZeneca appears to have tested it, and it looks like about 66% of people will not be carriers. So that's very promising.
Okay. All right. So are to answer the question, then, am I still contagious? What do you say to that person?
No, you'll be contagious for 10 to 14 days, but after that point, even though you might be testing positive, you will not be contagious.
Yeah, because
that's why we allow people to come back to work and break their quarantine.
Yeah, that's why after my 14 days of quarantine, I said, well, should I come back and get tested again to see if I'm still tested? And they said, no, you're probably going to test positive for a while. But after the 14 days, you're no longer contagious. The 815 area code says, we know that it's safer outdoors. What about indoors with the windows cracked?
Yeah, you know, it's all about air circulation and turnover of the air within a room. You know, in the hospital, we turn over our air in each room probably every 2 minutes or so with HEPA filters. So really, if you're indoors and you can open the outside and get fresh air moving through the house, that's definitely better than with the house closed down, because most hospitals are going to have basic filters, not HEPA-based filters. They're going to screen out or filter out any virus.
The 708 area code says, should we still bring our mail inside or let it sit for a day before we touch it? And then, of course, wash our hands. What's the latest on all of that now? Because I think we've talked about this, and I've heard others say as well that the probability of getting COVID-19 from touching something is not as great as we thought it was at the beginning of the pandemic.
Correct. You know, at the beginning of the pandemic, some researchers said, okay, let me see how long this virus lives on surfaces. And that really got a lot of media attention. But really, when we've looked at the spread of this virus, it's not from contact with touching objects or surfaces. It really, 99.99% of it is from being exposed to an individual who is coughing the virus or talking. So really, as far as your mail, you can open that, wash your hands. As soon as you open your mail, as long as you didn't touch your face, you're not going to get COVID from your mail.
Yeah, but the possibility of getting the virus by touching a surface where somebody may have coughed or there's a spray, you touch it and then scratch your eye or something like that, that's a way to transmit it, though, from a surface, right?
Correct. Yep, you would have to touch the surface, touch your face within a short period of time, and that period of time has to be that the individual who had COVID coughed on that or spoke or, you know,
put the
virus on that object.
Yeah, yeah. And while we still don't know for sure about me, that's my best guess of how I got it, something like that. But there's
probably
no way to
do it. Because you were very diligent about wearing masks and being very careful. So
yeah.
You weren't around a lot of people that it probably could have given it to you.
I think I got it something like that. This is Evelyn at 312-981-7200. Hi, you're on with Dr. Kevin Most.
Hi, Dr. Most. I just want to know, I'm in the 75-plus group, and I also have stage 4 lung cancer, non-operative, nothing you can do about it. How do I get on a list?
Yeah, so the list at that age group with your risk factors, you will be the next rollout after we get rid of the as soon as we vaccinate the essential workers.
Yeah.
So really, I would be talking to your oncologist or talking to your physician, and I would assume that the government is going to really come out with a list or an opportunity to schedule here based on your risk factors. And I think it's going to be mainly done initially through the CVS and Walgreens distribution after they finish with the nursing home settings.
And should people...
other problem is I can't have it in my arms due to breast cancer and lymph node removal in both arms.
Yep.
So what do I do?
You can get it anywhere. It doesn't have to go into your arm. That's probably one of the easiest places for us to do it. But they could easily vaccinate you into a thigh, any other. It doesn't mean that the immune system knows where our deltoid muscle is. It's the easiest place to get to a muscle of mass, and that's why we vaccinate there. if you think of little kids, they get them in their thighs all the time versus their arm because their muscle mass is there.
Yeah,
so you easily will get the vaccine and be able to be vaccinated in your thigh.
Yeah, they'll find someplace to stick you someplace. That's for sure. Does it matter if it's Pfizer or any of the others that are about to come out?
No, right now I would take whatever vaccine you have the availability to. As we learn more, we may find that different subsets of the population do better with specific vaccines. Okay. I think everyone is really waiting for the Johnson & Johnson where it's just one shot. And we will know a lot more after we all get the second shot as far as the side effects and maybe different populations having worse side effects. But we'll know that here within the next couple of weeks.
All right. We'll check in the meantime. Kevin, have a very happy new year. I know I speak on behalf of all of our listeners when I say thank you so much for all this great information every week. We really appreciate it. And have a great Sunday. Thank you.
Yeah, happy new year to you, too. We'll talk soon.
There's Dr. Kevin Most, Central DuPage Hospital. News coming up next, WGN.